A prince in wolf's clothing. Honestly, I do not even want to look up from this computer. There was just no imagining, Beatrice Baxter thought irritably, what sort of ill-mannered, ill-bred, foul-mouthed person had entered her office now. Not only did she disapprove of nearly everyone who came through the door, she was trying desperately to keep her employer on task, and visitors were neither wanted nor needed.
Pardon me.
Beatrice glanced up with her usual harried and exasperated expression, and her features softened. The visitor was familiar to her, since she'd seen him a few times in Quentin's office, although she'd never understood how he had gotten in. It would be quite like Quentin, she thought sourly, to have some sort of secretive back staircase. Normally, one who did not like anything out of the ordinary, Beatrice had found this fellow quite pleasant. He was well-mannered, for one thing, and had a sort of shabby professorial air which she found vaguely comforting and sexy at the same time. Quentin had told her his visits weren't to be mentioned to anyone, and she always kept all confidences, but it aroused her curiosity a bit.
"You've come in through the door this time."
Beatrice did not recognize her own voice at first. It sounded almost flirtatious, and flirting was something Beatrice certainly never did, especially while at work.
"Yes, seems I have."
He appeared a bit embarrassed, which was terribly endearing, and she felt a faint flush on her cheeks.
"I don't believe we've met, by the way. Remus Lupin."
He shook her hand and gave her a very courteous half-bow, a few pieces of dark blonde hair falling over his eyes, and looked embarrassed again.
"Oh, yes. Well, I'm Beatrice. Beatrice Baxter. Be pleased to meet you,"
she stammered out. "Stop this right now," she told herself angrily. "You sound ridiculous, like some simpering adolescent."
"I'm sorry I haven't an appointment," he began courteously. "I thought I might drop in on Mr. Quiller for about 15 minutes if he isn't otherwise occupied."
Loud shouting was heard from the other side of the door, and Lupin and Beatrice shared a smile.
"As you can see, it's business as usual," she replied dryly. "He's on a conference call, but it's meant to be up in 10 minutes. You're certainly welcome to wait."
She smiled at him warmly. This was only, she told herself sternly, because he was such a pleasant and polite fellow. It certainly didn't matter to her if he was tall, had piercing blue eyes and innocent expression with a hint of mischief, or long dark blonde hair that kept falling into his eyes.
"Thank you,"
Lupin replied politely, took a seat, and pulled out a journal.
"Pardon me, is that about Egyptology?"
"No, I did not just speak to him," she told herself furiously. "I'm getting back to work right now."
"It is?"
"I've always been fascinated with ancient Egypt."
Beatrice could not believe she was being so forward, but he had such a kind smile and certainly seemed non-threatening. Besides, she told herself sternly, she was supposed to be polite to guests.
"Have you? I have as well,"
he replied and gave her an interested look.
"I've collected quite a few artifacts. Perhaps I'll bring them round sometime."
That would be lovely.
She blushed again and realized she had no idea what she had been working on.
"How long have you worked for Mr. Quiller?"
he asked in a friendly manner.
19 years,
Beatrice replied in a long-suffering voice, and they exchanged a smile again. Quentin was once more shouting on the other side of the door.
"Don't you deserve some sort of medal from the Queen?"
He leaned back in his chair and grinned at her.
"A citation, at the very least."
Beatrice was flushing furiously now.
"Well, one would think so."
She cast about desperately for some line of conversation and landed on her favorite topic.
"What line of work you in, sir?"
"Oh, please call me Remus. I was a professor at a finishing school. I'm on sabbatical at the moment."
Beatrice couldn't have approved of this more. She did love the word professor. Academia sounded so precise and scholarly. She glanced quickly at his hands for a wedding ring and let out a relieved sigh when she did not find one there.
"I'm going to be staying here during my sabbatical," he added,
although he couldn't think of any reason why he was telling her this. He had never particularly noticed Quentin's secretary before, but she was certainly an attractive woman, especially if one imagined her without the glasses and her thick auburn hair loose from that bun. Lupin had always been a sucker for the prim yet sexy librarian type, and he was starting to get the impression Beatrice might be one in the making, whether she knew it or not.
"Here? You'll be living here?"
Beatrice replied in a pleased voice.
"Yes. Well, actually, I've moved in already. We've moved in."
Beatrice felt her heart sink.
"My son and I, that is,"
he added hastily.
"I'm a widower, and I'll just apologize in advance if he ever comes into your office with Timothy. He's not always as well behaved as he should be."
Beatrice was so happy to hear about his widowed state, she quite forgot she hated children. They both looked startled when Quentin appeared in the doorway. Apparently the 10 minutes and the conference call had been up a while ago.
Remus, what are you doing lurking about?
He looked from one to the other with some mild surprise.
I was talking with your secretary when you were on the phone, he replied calmly.
Beatrice ducked her head, but not before Quentin saw her blush. Don't you dare say one thing, she thought furiously. I'll kill you.
Well, come on in,
he said impatiently to Lupin, and she breathed a sigh of relief when he motioned him aside. Quentin couldn't resist glancing over his shoulder and giving her a nasty smirk, however, and Beatrice was mortified when she impulsively stuck her tongue out at him. He burst out laughing and shut the door.
Good God! What have you done to my secretary? Have you confounded her?
Certainly not.
Lupin sat down in his favorite armchair and lit up a cigar.
She's a very nice woman. Does she ever let her hair down?
Neither literally nor figuratively.
He replied thoughtfully.
Although if you keep hanging about, seems she might.
Quentin responded with an evil smile.
I doubt that very much,
Lupin replied crossly.
She's rather prim and proper. I think if she'd loosen up a bit, she might not be so bad, though. I've tried inviting her to dinners and that sort of thing. Not that she'll ever come.
I can't imagine why not,
he said dryly.
Yeah, she's pretty horrified by the whole gang,
Quentin responded carelessly.
She likes opera, though.
Lupin gave him a sour look.
What are you suggesting?
Ask her out. See if you can get her hair down, he replied impatiently.
We've been through this before, Quentin, Lupin replied solemnly. I can't think of anything I'd be less likely to do. You needn't try and create romance just because you're on some shagging high all the time.
The door opened, and when Rosie burst in, Lupin stopped talking.
What were you saying about shagging?
Rosie demanded.
Nothing, he muttered.
Aren't you the one that said curiosity was a good thing?
Remus was just explaining to me that I'm on some sort of shagging high,
Quentin replied impassively. Excellent, he thought with satisfaction. I can embarrass both of them with one comment.
Ew, Dad!
Lupin gave him a disgusted look.
Odd sort of phrase, isn't it? I think I'll use it as an excuse when B starts harping at me for not getting anything done. Sorry, B, I'm on a shagging high.
There's really nothing funny about this, Rosie and Lupin burst out together.
Really? You two need to develop a sense of humor. You're much too serious.
Rosie and Lupin exchanged annoyed glances.
I came to talk to you about something important, Dad, but if you're just going to joke around...
Well, there's a first. I can't say I've ever been accused of that,
he replied pleasantly. Is this something we have to discuss in private?
No, but... Well, Lupin was here first. Did you want to talk to him?
I just came by to tell him his old gardener's called the police on me,
Lupin replied agreeably.
I think they'll be arriving shortly.
What? Rosie and Quentin responded in baffled tones.
I was casting some protective spells round the place. I had to walk around waving my wand, muttering things, you know. I'm sure I looked quite the nutter. I thought I'd obliterated everyone who'd seen me, but apparently I missed this old fellow who was skulking about in his cottage. Anyway, he summoned up the law to take me to the loony bin.
He finished cheerfully.
Summoned up the law?
Rosie giggled. This is what I mean, Quentin replied lazily and motioned to Quentin.
They don't call people. They haven't phones. They owl them or summon them or whatever. He's called up the law on you, Remus,
he corrected him. Called. Anyway, I'll take care of it. He wandered off to his desk.
He has a pal at Scotland Yard, Rosie told him knowingly. He's like second in command or something. He'll fix up. Do you know what Scotland Yard is?
She said politely, and Lupin smiled.
Well, yes, I have an interest in law enforcement, even if I don't use the right verb. I wondered how muggles managed without an oral department or magical law enforcement or any of that.
Quentin returned to his seat, looking satisfied.
He's got a good idea. It'll be my cousin with some sad neurological disease causing dementia. No cause for alarm. That will take care of any further calls from the servants as well.
He turned to Rosie. So, what's up with you?
Well, you remember when you said something earlier about me affording the pink Lamborghini?
She looked embarrassed at this, and Lupin jumped to his feet.
I can come back later, Rosie,
he said kindly.
Thanks,
she replied sweetly.
Don't dawdle outside the door, Remus,
Quentin called after him cheerfully as he departed, and Rosie raised an eyebrow.
Beatrice has a thing for him, he added, and she burst out laughing.
Are you kidding me? B? But you know, when I came in, she actually smiled at me.
Perhaps she's contemplating a shagging high, Quentin replied blandly.
Dad, stop saying that!
All right, what's going on?
Rosie started to speak, stopped, started again, and then stopped again. Quinn began to feel alarmed and suspected this was because she was trying not to cry.
Honey, what's wrong? He frowned. I thought everything was patched up with you and William.
Oh, it is.
She managed a wan smile.
I'm just really pissed at myself and embarrassed. Well, I did something totally stupid and now I have to admit it,
she wailed. Everyone's done something stupid and there's nothing wrong with admitting it, he told her sternly.
Okay, promise me you won't shout at me,
she said accusingly. Of course I won't shout at you, Quentin barked out irritably. Well, what the hell is it?
Well,
Rosie began defiantly,
when I made all that money off my album, I kind of invested it with this one company that my manager told me about.
She trailed off into a mumble. Her father gave her an aghast look.
You invested all of your money in one company based on your sodding manager's advice? He hollered.
Fine then, fine!
Rosie screeched and burst into tears.
You said you wouldn't shout at me!
Well, I'm sorry, Quentin barked back unconvincingly. I just don't understand this. Why the fuck didn't you ask me if you wanted to invest your money? You didn't trust me, he scowled.
Well, of course I did, Rosie squealed angrily. I just wanted to be independent and make my own decisions.
You wanted to make your own decisions about investing money when your own father's a damn billionaire that runs an investment firm. And you didn't make your own decision. Your motherfucking manager who knows nothing did.
Rosie burst into tears again, and Quentin jumped up angrily and started pacing around the room. And both of them looked annoyed when the door opened and Lupin strolled back in.
Perhaps I'll stay after all,
he said amiably and returned to his seat.
Apparently you two can't have a civil conversation without shouting. Beatrice and I were trying to discuss...
You were out there talking with Bea,
Quentin snapped. I was trying to talk to her,
Lupin replied in an offended tone.
If that were possible, with all the damned shouting and bloody bawling going on in the background. And you didn't glare at me, Rosie. I know you're putting it on.
Damn aura, Rosie thought furiously and shot him an evil glare.
Well, maybe some of it, she screeched. But not all of it. I do feel horrible because I haven't any money.
Lupin sighed.
Well, what's done is done, he shrugged. I'm sure Quentin wanted to make his own decisions when he was 19. Isn't that how old you were when you made this money?
Yes,
she replied sullenly.
What the fuck are you saying? Quentin yelled.
Quit yelling, you're hurting my head, Lupin replied. Anyway, Rosie's obviously seen the error of her ways, and she's coming to you for advice. So, you can shout at her and make sure she'll never approach you again, or help remedy the situation, which I'm sure is what you want to do.
He gave Quentin a meaningful look.
Thank you, Dr. Lupin, bloody werewolf psychiatrist, Quentin replied sourly.
Fine. Sorry I shouted at you, Rosie. I suppose it hurt my feelings.
Oh, Dad, I'm sorry,
Rosie wailed.
Now he's putting it on, Rosie,
Lupin told her cheerfully.
Damn it, Remus, stop that shit!
Your feelings aren't hurt at all,
Lupin told him pleasantly, and Quentin gave him a malevolent scowl.
So, shall we get back to business? Do you two need longer to shout and try to make one another feel guilty?
There was a long silence, and both father and daughter gave him evil looks.
I'll take that as a yes,
Lupin replied casually and lit up his pipe.
Well, how did these investments turn out?
He asked Rosie.
Well, terribly, obviously,
Rosie shrieked and started bawling again.
I haven't any money. I haven't a shilling. All my credit card bills are run up, and these bill collector people are calling me, and I can't stand it,
she screeched dramatically. Well, there's no need to burst my bloody eardrums, Lupin thought to himself. But since he did have sympathy for the state of poverty, he gave her a compassionate look.
Have you any source of income?
He asked gently.
Well, I'm working on my second album, but it isn't coming along very well,
she announced obdurately.
And it's all William's fault. He's always distracting me.
Lupin smiled at this, but was gracious enough not to comment.
And how do you propose to solve this dilemma?
You are a bloody werewolf psychiatrist, aren't you?
Rosie replied rudely.
You sound just like one.
Thank you, he answered smugly. I've been taking a page from Dumbledore. Everyone was always fighting at Grimmauld Place. Too many people in close quarters, you know. Sirius and Severus always trying to stun one another, that sort of thing. He was the only one that could get anyone to talk things out.
Quentin drummed his fingers impatiently on his desk.
For God's sake, Rosie, why in the hell are you worrying about money?
He turned and started typing furiously into his computer.
Because I don't want to borrow money. What if my album's a bust and I can't pay it back? And I don't want you just giving me money. You want to give Jamie anything for an allowance,
she said petulantly, deciding she might as well be truthful since Lupin would know anyway.
"Don't you think I know you two?" Quentin replied with a frown. "Jamie is lazy and unmotivated, and if I provided well for him, he wouldn't do a bloody thing. He's got his ass back in school, partly because I'm sure he's tired of never having any money. Anyway, you've always been very determined and self-motivated. Not worried about that. How much do you owe your credit card companies?"
"I don't know," she said miserably, apparently beginning to feel quite ashamed of herself.
"How can you not know?" he shouted. "Don't you keep your fucking financial statements?"
"No!"
she screamed back and stomped her foot. "Well, this is getting tiresome as hell," Lupin thought to himself. "How the fuck did Albus put up with all of us?" He sighed. "I suppose it doesn't matter now, anyway. They're all dead. Sirius, Snape, Mad-Eye, Hestia, Emmeline, Tonks, Albus himself." He was overwhelmed by a wave of melancholy so strong he felt it might take his breath away and closed his eyes for a moment. When he realized the room had become quiet, he glanced at Rosie and Quentin and saw that they were staring at him.
"Sorry," he blinked hastily. "Kind of drifted off."
"Remus."
Quentin, he knew, was generally aware of what he was thinking.
"We're the ones who should apologize. Here we are yelling about money when... well, you've been through a lot worse,"
he finished tactfully, deciding. "All your fucking friends are dead. Probably wouldn't be the best way to go."
"I'm sorry, too,"
Rosie said in a small voice.
"It's quite all right, actually. It was me putting it on this time."
He smiled at them, and although neither one was fooled, it eased the tension, and they laughed.
"Okay, now we all feel sorry for you,"
Rosie replied airily.
"But that won't buy me any new purses or shoes,"
she added smugly and gave him a saucy look. "I really like this girl," Lupin thought cheerfully. "Spoiled as hell, but I suppose she can't help it. Has some spark to her anyway. But like Elizabeth."
"Here."
Quentin turned around from his computer and handed Rosie a slip of paper with a sum scribbled on it.
"It's transferred to your account. Will that take care of your debts and keep you in purses and shoes for a couple of years?"
"Dad! You can't give me this much money!"
Rosie squealed happily.
"You can't!"
"I think I just did,"
he replied impassively.
"Thank you!"
she yelled ecstatically and ran around the desk to hug him. "All right!" Quentin shouted crossly. Apparently this display of emotion was quite embarrassing.
"We got everybody's bloody problem solved. Better be getting something done on this daft list or B will be at me to stay until 5 o'clock.
Rosie giggled at this.
"How could she make you stay, Dad? She works for you."
"Never underestimate the power of a woman, Rosie," her father scowled.
"I certainly agree with that,"
Lupin chimed in.
"Well, good to know,"
she responded cheerily.
"I guess I'll tell William maybe we can go out to dinner sometime after all."
"Holy shit," Lupin groaned. "I was going to be carrying on about his girlfriend buying him dinner. I've got to think of some way for that boy to make money."
"Well, he's working on potions all day to help the rake,"
Rosie said indignantly.
"It isn't as if he's a worthless bum."
"Well, of course he isn't, but he doesn't get paid for it. He needs some sort of research. Something in transfiguration. He could work on the same sort of spells. That's Percy's department."
Lupin got up muttering to himself and went out the door. Rosie skipped gleefully out the door and Quentin turned back to his computer, smiling. Rather than face the secretarial scolding, Quentin forced himself to stay until 5. And although Solange had protested this when he called her, he reminded her it was Friday and he would certainly spend the entire weekend doing whatever she wanted. God, I hope this doesn't involve shopping, he thought after he got off the phone. Solange was an inveterate shopper, and he'd discovered if he wanted to spend as much time as possible with her, which was the case, he'd have to tag after her to malls. Watching her try on clothes was definitely entertaining, except it often led to dressing room encounters that got them thrown out of department stores. They both enjoyed bookstores, but shopping for her family or friends was suicidally boring, and generally ended with him barking at her to hurry up and her yelling at him to just go on home then. He strolled out of his office, prepared to self-righteously inform the demanding Beatrice that he had completed all the items on her daily list, but stopped in the doorway in astonishment. It was 10 till 5, which meant her workday wasn't over yet. And her computer was actually off, and she had the radio on in the background, playing some sort of sappy romantic oldies songs. She did not even glance up as she and Lupin exclaimed over a bunch of dusty old relics that he had piled up on her desk. He cleared his throat, and they both jumped guiltily.
"Mr. Quiller, I was just... that is, I..."
B flushed furiously.
"It's my fault, Quentin," Lupin put in quickly. "I've been bothering B while she's trying to work. She's interested in Egyptology, and I thought I'd show her a few of my relics."
Well, what woman could pass that up? Quentin replied wryly. I've no idea how you've stayed single.
I'll stay an hour late tomorrow, Beatrice burst out.
No, that won't do. Quentin scowled, and Lupin began to feel rather badly. Here he'd gotten the poor woman in trouble, all because he was apparently desperate for female attention. Since you owe me an hour of my time, you'll just have to come to dinner with us tonight. No excuses, Quentin announced inflexibly to Beatrice and stomped out the door.
Whoever do you think he wants me to come to dinner? Beatrice said in a shocked voice.
Trying to make you suffer, I suppose. Lupin smiled. You know how he is. It'll be horribly loud, and no one's got any manners. But the food's amazing, he added, and looked at her questioningly.
Well, I suppose I should come, she replied without looking at him. He's invited me a dozen times. Well, I really should.
They generally start at 6. I'll save you a seat at the quieter end, he told her reassuringly.
Right, he thought. Like the foot of the table where Henry, Victor, Kenny, and Teddy sat was quiet.
I'll have to hurry home and change, Beatrice said breathlessly and snatched up her purse.
Good. I look forward to it.
Lupin gave her his formal and courteous nod, and she smiled at him, just a bit too brightly. Does she think this is a date or what? He thought to himself as he went off to the elevator. Apparently she does. Fine, excellent. This is exactly what I need to get my mind off Elizabeth. She's a perfectly nice woman, and she could be damned attractive, really. And it isn't as if I ever get any. It's definitely time for that. Teddy was subjected to a 10-minute lecture on the way to dinner about his behavior. Apparently, he thought the consequences of him having any fun whatsoever would be most injurious to his person. He ascertained this was due to some important woman who was going to be there, whom he imagined must be some sort of inspector, or maybe someone from the ministry. But he said she was a muggle, and I wasn't to mention magic.
Dad, is there a muggle ministry?
He said curiously as they got off the lift.
Certainly. It's called Parliament.
Is she from the Parliament?
No, she's Quentin's secretary.
Teddy frowned at this.
Is she making a report on you?
He said worriedly, and Lupin winced. Even under Shacklebolt's regime, there remained werewolf regulations in place. The Wizengamot would only bend so far, and he still remained registered and had to submit to an annual report and examination.
Something like that,
he told his son soberly. That'll make him behave.
I'll be very, very good,
Teddy announced stubbornly.
I'll tell you never hurt anybody. Never!
That isn't necessary, Lupin blurted out quickly. Just, well, only answer questions she asks you, and please make your hair brown. I don't think she'll care for purple.
I hate brown,
Teddy sulked.
What about blonde? The same color as Timothy's.
Teddy looked pleased and changed his hair to platinum as they strolled into the dining room together. Lupin searched out Victor and Kenny. As he expected, Victor was drunk and telling lewd jokes to Kenny, who was stoned and cackling hysterically. Lupin stared at them both very intently, and Teddy was rather startled when they both assumed dour expressions and sat up straight in their chairs.
So, why they confounded?
William asked him with a smile as he held out Rosie's chair and she seated herself with a self-satisfied air.
Having a dinner guest. Wanted them to behave.
Lupin replied shortly.
Dinner guest? Who?
Rosie burst out curiously, and William gave him a surprised look.
Beatrice.
Dad's secretary?
Rosie shrieked and then clapped her hand over her mouth.
Oh, sorry. It's just this. She's been yelling at me since I was a kid. And she's a prissy old...
Will you please behave?
Lupin asked her warily.
Please? For me?
Why are you having her here in the first place?
Rosie blurted out in her impulsive fashion, and William gave her an irritated look. Lupin was horrified when he heard the clear and mocking voice of Sirius in his head.
Perhaps because you're trying to make Elizabeth jealous, Mooney.
The hell would be the point of that, he thought irritably. Elizabeth rarely even looked anywhere in his direction.
Rosie, maybe fancies her,
William hissed.
Oh, please! She's so unattractive! She...
They were interrupted when MacDonald, the new head butler since the murder of Smedley, loudly announced Beatrice's arrival, causing an unexpected hush at the table. Beatrice followed MacDonald rather nervously to her seat next to Lupin, and when Lupin and Teddy both stood up politely, William followed suit. We're at the royal palace, Rosie thought sulkily. Well, all right, so she cleans up well.
Beatrice had made a hurried stop at a dress store, and in a most uncharacteristically impulsive fashion, snatched up a green silk dress that fit her willowy figure to perfection. Her thick auburn hair was down from the bun, although she'd only had time to ruffle it through with her fingers, but this was all that was needed. The combination of the dress, the hair, the absence of the black glasses, and a touch of makeup with bright lipstick had transformed her rather impressively. No one noticed at all when Elizabeth gave Beatrice a very quick glance and then resolutely turned her back on her, continuing her conversation with Solange in an unnaturally high-pitched voice. Lupin introduced his nephews and Kenny, while Rosie stifled a giggle as Kenny greeted her with the propriety of a royal palace butler, and then began a stilted conversation about the stock exchange with Victor. Henry, thankfully, had passed out upstairs, so Lupin was spared a third confounding charm.
B... Are you actually wearing makeup?
Rosie said in a shocked tone.
I mean, well, you look great. I love your dress.
Thank you, Rosie,
Beatrice replied nervously, and Rosie decided she seemed so uncomfortable she actually felt sorry for her.
Beatrice, this is my son, Teddy,
Lupin told her politely, and she gave both of them a smile.
I'm quite glad to meet you, Miss Beatrice,
Teddy announced pompously. He was sitting so stiffly, Rosie thought. It appeared that he'd been stuffed and mounted on someone's wall.
Thank you, Teddy,
Beatrice replied brightly.
How old are you?
6, ma'am,
he said gravely.
6,
she echoed lamely. What do I say now? What does one talk about to children?
So, you're in school?
She uttered hastily.
Yes, ma'am. My dad makes sure I go to school every single day,
Teddy informed her sternly.
And I always wear clean clothes and take a bath, and he makes sure I eat stuff that's good for me. No chocolate,
he added untruthfully. Holy fuck, Lupin thought as he gave him an incredulous look. Why does anyone with children ever try to have a date?
That's very good, Teddy,
Beatrice replied with a puzzled expression. Quentin began shouting at Timothy, who had put a frog in his mother's glass of wine. Solange started shrieking as the frog hopped directly onto her neck, and Jamie went off in a torrent of bragging about the A he'd received on his first business paper.
Tell me about yourself, B,
Lupin interjected hastily.
Oh, I'm quite dull, she replied coyly.
Flirt, Rosie thought to herself as she speared her broccoli and listened in shamelessly on their conversation. Who'd have thought it? Boring old B.
My friends often accuse me of the same thing,
Lupin replied with a smile.
What subject do you teach?
Beatrice asked politely, and Teddy interrupted them immediately.
He taught defense against...
Teddy clamped his mouth shut when William kicked him under the table.
This and that,
Lupin gave Teddy a warning look.
I like the sciences and literature.
He's very talented at making maps,
William added innocently.
Oh, you're a cartographer,
B responded with interest as Lupin shot a look at William.
But that's fascinating.
She gazed up at him in a positively provocative manner. Gag, Rosie thought to herself. I'm going to puke. Why doesn't she just go climb up on his lap or something?
My great-great-grandfather was,
Lupin replied.
He passed the art down to me.
This was actually true. Lupin felt no need to elaborate on the sort of maps he made.
Lupin, having a dinner guest then?
Richard and Lady Fanshawe bustled in with their usual air of superiority, and Lupin gave them a hopeful look. He imagined that they at least could be counted on for politeness and formality. Apparently, this was not the case.
Aren't you Quentin's secretary?
Richard boomed out.
Bit gussied up tonight, aren't we?
He bellowed in his infamously tactless manner. Lady Fanshawe pursed her lips in an extremely sour fashion, as if she'd just inhaled a very large lemon, her disapproval more than evident. Ew, Rosie thought disgustedly. That is so gross. Why is she so interested in him? I have the most embarrassing grandparents in the whole world. Caroline merely sniffed and said nothing at all to Beatrice when Lupin introduced them, sitting herself down quite haughtily and pulling her gloves off in a disdainful fashion.
And how are you feeling, Remus?
She said in a rather nasty tone.
Just fine, Caroline. Thank you,
Lupin replied warily.
Not having any difficulties with your furry little problem?
She snapped out icily and glared at B.
Grandmother? Honestly?
Even Rosie was shocked by this.
What is your furry little problem?
Beatrice said quickly in an attempt to ease the tension.
I've a rather badly behaved rabbit,
Lupin mumbled. Richard, who was well aware of his wife's fascination with Lupin, and had taken in every bit of her haughty and contemptuous manner, glared at him as if he were a shameless wife-stealer.
Planning on taking B for a walk tonight, Lupin, he hollered. In the moonlight, he gave Lupin a horrible smirk. I've been watching the movies, you know, he said triumphantly. Richard, what the bloody hell is wrong with you? Quentin shouted.
Don't mind him, B. The doctor says he's gone daft. Old age, you know.
Well, I never, Richard said furiously. I seem to recall I beat you at chess just last week.
Of course you did, Richard, Quentin replied soothingly, as if speaking to a batty old woman. You're still very smart. We all know that, he added kindly.
Richard was absolutely speechless with anger, and for the first time in his life, actually snatched up a bowl of baked beans and flung them down the table at Quentin. His aim was off, and the beans smacked Jamie squarely in the face.
Grandpa, what the fuck's wrong with you? Jamie yelled and stormed away from the table.
It's quite sad, really, William said seriously to Beatrice. He was a very intelligent man in his time, you know.
Oh, it is, she nodded. I remember him when they used to be partners. He was always so cheerful and polite. How very dreadful.
Beatrice gave the demented Richard a sympathetic look.
I am not touched in the head, Richard screamed.
And this is where you came for your sabbatical?
Beatrice said to Lupin with a wry smile.
Well, dinner only comes once a day, he replied truthfully. Teddy and I have our own floor. It's quite peaceful.
My dad cleans it every single day,
Teddy yelled loudly.
Well, how lovely,
Beatrice replied weakly.
Percy Weasley,
McDonald announced snootily, and Lupin stifled a groan.
Professor Lupin, how are you, old chap?
Rosie gave him a startled look. She was quite accustomed to Lupin by now, but it was certainly odd to see the bespectacled, red-headed, officious-appearing Percy Weasley standing in dark blue dress robes in her own living room.
Fine,
Lupin muttered, without bothering an attempt at introduction or explanation to Beatrice.
Well,
Percy huffed at this none-too-warm welcome.
You're the one that sent me the owl.
The owl?
Beatrice squeaked. She was staring at him as if she couldn't quite believe her eyes.
Yes, saying we needed to talk,
Percy responded with an angry sniff.
Certainly. Sorry, Percy. I didn't expect you quite so soon.
Percy peered interestedly around the dinner table, and William looked up and gave him a rather tentative smile.
William, is that you? Well, how are you, old boy?
Percy said delightedly as William jumped to his feet.
Percy! Prince and Pratt!
William replied cheerfully, and Percy actually laughed. Apparently, this was an old joke.
Well, it's only good to see you again, you know. Spiffing, corking, I say. You need to come round the borough, you know,
he added sternly.
Mum and Dad say they haven't seen you in years. Probably wouldn't even recognize you.
William glanced at Rosie, who looked puzzled.
Rosie, Percy Weasley. Percy, Rosie Quiller. Rumours used to take me to visit the Weasleys every summer when I was a kid. I thought it was the best place ever.
Quite pleased to meet you,
Percy announced arrogantly to Rosie.
I've been quite busy, you know. I've been appointed head of the Department of Transfiguration,
he finished self-importantly, as if he had just been elected supreme ruler of the universe, and William and Lupin exchanged a knowing glance. Just when Rosie thought the night couldn't possibly get any weirder, or more embarrassing for Lupin, there was a loud crack, and a filthy creature with a gnome-like appearance, large crooked nose, and bloodshot eyes stood accusingly in front of Lupin.
Thought I wouldn't find you!
He screeched in a high-pitched voice and stamped his filthy foot.
Thought you could run away from me, you blood traitor! You filthy half-human monster!
Beatrice leapt to her feet in alarm.
It's all right, B, it's a house elf,
Rosie blurted out before she could stop herself. Beatrice stood and stared at them all, and Rosie knew the exact instant when the lights went on. Beatrice was quite a vociferous reader.
Oh, dear sweet Lord,
she promptly fell over on the floor in a faint. Lupin actually looked relieved by this, then turned and glared furiously at Quentin.
And this is why I don't see women,
he hissed at him.
Right. Sorry about that, Remus. I suppose it was rather a bad idea.
Quentin decided it was time to peruse his evening newspaper.
This is where you live? In this filthy house full of muggles, you dirty beast!
Shut up! William shouted. Good Lord, Remus! How can Sirius do this to you?
Is that creature?
Rosie said in a bewildered voice.
No, I wish it was, Lupin replied sadly. This is Wheezer. He's rather worse. Sirius left him to me in his will.
I thought she was your friend.
Well.
Lupin sighed and Rosie sat back in her chair smiling. She knew some story was about to commence.
During our 7th year, we had a bit too much fire whiskey. We made a bet. I was so sure Sirius wouldn't win, I told him he could leave me Weezer in his will if he did.
What was the bet?
That he could get Severus to wash his hair.
William and Rosie burst out laughing, but Percy pursed his lips in disapproval.
How do you manage that? William said in an impressed voice. Well, he started a rumor, you know, that there was going to be some sort of competition for the best hair among the 7th-year boys, and Lily Evans was to judge.
Oh, you were a horrible... Rosie giggled.
Of course we were, Rosie. Haven't you read the books? Anyway, you can see I've paid for my sins. I keep trying to lose him, but he always seems to find me.
Lupin responded gloomily.
The shame! The shame! Sent from the most noble and ancient House of Black to the filthy werewolf as my master!
Lupin merely sighed at this torrent of invective, and Weezer began banging his head on the floor.
Dear God! We can't have that nasty thing at the dinner table!
The others, who had been looking on in shocked silence at this gruesome apparition, all seemed to find their voices at once, Lady Fanshawe's booming out over all the rest.
Get up to the 15th floor!
Lupin shouted, and Weezer disapparated with a crack.
I knew he'd find us, Dad,
Teddy said gloomily.
He always does, and I don't think that lady inspected you very good either.
Well, I'm quite used to it. I haven't been inspected in a long time,
Lupin muttered darkly.
Look, it's snowing,
Timothy announced happily as he raced over to the windows and yanked back the red velvet curtains.
Teddy, let's go outside and make snow angels.
They wouldn't know what snow angels were, Lady Fanshawe announced haughtily.
Apparently she was still angry with Lupin.
I'll bet he's never even heard of them,
she snorted derisively and cast him a mocking glance.
Oh, shit. Holy shit. Snow angels. What is it those children are doing?
Lupin said curiously as he and Elizabeth walked hand in hand around the perimeter of the park. But he didn't look at the children for very long. I don't think I've been able to take my eyes off her since I met her, he thought to himself. How am I ever going to leave her? We've only had 6 days together, and who knows if I'll ever see her again. This thought was just too unbearable to consider. Elizabeth, who was quite smartly turned out in a long-fitted gray coat, black boots, and a bright red knitted cap, glanced up and smiled at him.
Snow angel, silly, she replied. Haven't you ever made one, then?
No,
he replied and smiled back at her.
Show me how.
He spun her around and pulled her back against his chest, his heart hammering. I've got to kiss her. Stop it, you'll embarrass her. You'll scare her off. It's almost sunset. There's hardly anyone here. He breathed in the scent of the long black hair that tangled down her back and turned her around. And they stood with their hands outstretched, gazing at each other intently.
Liz,
he said hoarsely.
Oh,
she responded breathlessly. He bent his face down towards hers, and she stretched up on tiptoes and kissed him. It was a quick and almost chaste kiss, but it only took that split second for him to taste her lips, feel her lips, and the world around him seemed to tilt and spin upon itself in some kind of crazy fashion. She kissed me. She doesn't go out with boys alone. She's been out all afternoon and evening with me every day this week, and she kissed me. He started grinning like an idiot, and she ducked her head and blushed furiously.
I'll show you what they are,
she announced loudly, apparently trying to cover her embarrassment.
You have to promise not to laugh, though.
I promise.
Oh, God, just let me stare at you for the rest of my life, and I'll do anything, anything at all, if you'll just kiss me again.
I haven't done this since I was a little girl. Don't laugh,
she repeated sternly, and he shook his head mutely. She took off her coat and handed it to him, revealing a thick white cashmere sweater that hugged the outlines of her breasts and the curve of her waist and her faded denim jeans, an item of clothing he had decided was God's gift to muggle men everywhere. She sat down on the ground, blushing, and then stretched out on her back, waving her arms and legs wildly. Holy fucking shit. She's lying on her back. I think I'm going to fall over dead. Elizabeth got up laughing and dusted snow off of herself.
See?
She pointed to the indentation she'd left in the snow.
See how it's shaped like an angel? That's a snow angel. That's how you make them.
He took her coat and wrapped it around her shoulders like a cloak, pulling her up close to him, and dusted a few flakes of snow off her nose.
I think you're the snow angel,
he told her seriously.
Well, that is very sweet,
she replied with a smile.
You're the nicest boy I've ever known.
Nicest?
He repeated wryly.
Well, I'm glad, although one might say that about a cousin or something. And the smartest,
she added archly.
Also flattering, he replied and gave her an expectant look. Also something one might say about a cousin.
All right, you're the sweetest and most handsome boy I've ever known,
she announced as her cheeks turned bright red.
And this has been the best week of my whole life.
Mine too, he murmured and kissed the tip of her nose. I think I might actually die if I have to leave you.
He gave her a sheepish look, but tears sprang up in her eyes.
Oh, that's how I feel too. I was scared you'd leave and I'd never hear from you.
Totally impossible. I'm going to owl you every day.
She shook her head.
You're also the strangest boy I've ever met,
she declared.
I want to see this owl.
Oh, you'll see her, believe me. You'll get tired of seeing her.
I believe you,
she replied happily. The sun had almost sunk completely below the horizon, its last rays of gold and red shimmering behind the black outlines of the tree branches. He took her face in his hands and kissed her very gently and carefully, as if she might pull away and vanish.
Oh, you're going to think I'm awful, kissing someone right out here in the park,
she whispered.
I think you're everything beautiful and wonderful there is in the world,
he replied seriously.
And if there are real snow angels, they couldn't be nearly as pretty as you.
Now you make one, she instructed him. And you can't wear your cloak. It won't make the right shape.
I'm going to look a total idiot, he replied with a smile. But I'll do whatever you want.
He walked over next to the outline she'd made, dropped himself down in the snow, and flailed about, feeling very foolish, while Elizabeth giggled merrily. It was quite worth it, he decided, when he got up and she started brushing snow off him.
Now I'm freezing, he said pathetically. I'm going to freeze to death. You better get in this cloak with me.
No,
Elizabeth replied firmly.
There's a lot of room.
He flapped the edges of the cloak so that it billowed behind him.
I can wrap you up in it.
No,
she repeated, but her voice wavered.
If you don't, I might die of hypothermia. All you'd have to remember me by is that snow angel on the ground,
he added in a pitiful voice.
Well, I don't want you to die,
she replied primly and melted into his arms. He wrapped the cloak around her and she put her head on his shoulder, and they stood in silence for a long time.
I think those angels brought me good luck, he whispered.
Well, Lady Fanshawe shouted, and Lupin almost jumped out of his chair. Do you, or do you not?
For the first time since New Year's Day, he and Elizabeth looked at each other, really looked at each other, long enough so that the rest of the table glanced at them curiously. Elizabeth appeared utterly stricken.
Yes,
he replied hoarsely, in a voice so full of emotion, everyone stared at him.
I know what they are. Someone showed me how to make them.
Elizabeth said something quickly to her father and hurried away from the table.
Whatever did you need to see me about?
Percy burst in, clearly irritated that his visit was being ignored.
Right,
Lupin replied mechanically, his voice a bit shaky.
Sorry. Let's have a talk, shall we?
The two of them hurried out of the room.
This is so cool,
Timothy yelled.
We have a house elf. This is ace. This is going to be really fun.
Oh, you see how fun it is, William replied dourly and stood up.
7 o'clock. Want to go, Rosie?
Rosie had almost forgotten they were planning to see a movie.
Oh, sure, let me get my coat. We should go too, darling. I've got to find a present for Aunt Matilda. Her birthday's coming up,
Solange burst out brightly. Why don't we go to the movies with the kids? Quentin tried hopefully.
Ew, Rosie shrieked. You're not coming with us. You'll be snogging all the time and embarrassing us.
Didn't I just give you a shitload of money? Her father replied irritably.
Oh, I don't want to go see a movie with them,
Solange said grumpily.
You told me we could do whatever I wanted.
Quentin whispered something in her ear and Solange giggled. Apparently, he suggested he would do whatever she wanted in a private location.
Well, all right then,
she said and gave him a saucy smile. Quentin smiled to himself. Oh well, he thought. At least dinner turned out well for someone.
Might as well be me.